Hi, this is Pastor Marquez Ball of the Uplift Church in Laurel, Maryland. Listen, it is my prayer that this word is a blessing in your life. I pray that it's uplifting to your mind, uplifting to your heart, and uplifting to your spirit. Check us out online at upliftmd.com. God bless.
I hear the chains falling.
Come on, give God a hand clap of praise. He broke some chains in your life. He has set you free. I know chains have fallen in my life, and I'm so thankful for chains that have fallen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. It is a blessing to see and to greet each of us on this Sunday morning, the Sunday before Christmas. I know several people are on travel. I actually leave tomorrow morning. Be gone for about a week as well, so we're certainly thankful for those who are still in town and came out for worship on this morning. I am happy, glad about today's sermon. I'm looking forward to sharing it with us as we are in part three of our series, This Is It. And so I'm looking forward to share it with you. If you have your Bibles, your books of instruction before leaving earth, I invite your attention to the Gospel of Luke. Chapter number 2. Last week we were in chapter number 1. This week we are in chapter number 2 of Luke. And we'll be reading verses 1 through 7. Chapter number 2 of Luke, verses 1 through 7 should be on the screen now as well. I'm reading from the New International Version of the Bible. If you are an able body, we invite you to stand to honor the reading of God's Word. Luke chapter number 2. We're going to be reading verses 1 through 7. You've got it, say amen. Amen. If you're still scrolling, say hold up. All right, Luke chapter number 2. Here's what it says. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, to the town of David, because he belonged to the house of the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloth and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. This is the word of God for the people of God, and the word of God is already blessed. You may be seated in the presence of God as we do each and every Sunday. Will you help me introduce today's sermon by looking at your neighbor and saying, neighbor, this morning's sermon is bright like a diamond. Okay, look at another neighbor, look at another neighbor. Some of y'all had to look across the room this morning. A neighbor. Today's sermon is bright like a diamond. Bright like a diamond. Will you pray with me? Father, it's once again that I stand to proclaim your word. I pray, dear Lord, that I decrease and that you increase mightily. These your people would see and hear less of me and more of thee. Take the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart and make them to be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, our God, our strength, and our Redeemer. Father, I have studied, but I need your strength. I have prepared, but I need your power. I'm willing and I want to, but I need you to make me able. Silently now, I'll wait for thee. Ready, my Lord, thy will to see. Open mine eyes and lift me, Spirit divine. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Bright like a diamond. On the screen right now, our AV crew is going to put up a picture. Don't laugh. Picture. picture. That was me in high school. I didn't even wear glasses. It was all stage because I wanted to look smart. The point of this picture is this. In my ear, there is an earring. It was a diamond. This was the time when everybody was blinging. I'm from New Orleans, so everything was bling bling. This is kind of me. My showing that I had some level of status was having a carat diamond in my ear. I remember the day I got that earring. I remember seeing all of my friends have diamond earrings. So if you wanted to bling, because Cash Money them said you have to be blinging. So I wanted to do that. I was trying to be cool. I had swagger. I was on it. So I made sure I saved money to get this diamond earring. I can remember the day I got it. I remember because that day I walked to the corner store. The corner store was called Danny and Clyde's. Danny and Clyde's, the corner store, and I walked there to get a po' boy sandwich. Po' boy sandwich. For those who've been in New Orleans, you know all New Orleans food tastes good. So even if you go to the corner store, get you a po' boy sandwich. I went to get me a catfish po' boy sandwich. And when I went to check out, I saw it because behind the cash register, they had the earrings I wanted. Y'all, it cost me at least 1,000 pennies to get this earring. And they gave me 2 of them just in case I lost one. I put it in my ear and I was bling bling. I had my diamond earring. And it was cool for the first couple of days. Problem was, it wasn't real diamond. Didn't really stand up under any kind of pressure. As a matter of fact, while it was in the case, it shined bright like a diamond. But as soon as I began to wear it, it did not stand up to the quality of a diamond. It was really fake. But a diamond, a real diamond, it said by De Beers, the diamond company, they had the phrase that says, a diamond is a girl's best friend. Fellas, I ain't trying to get you in trouble for Christmas. That's what De Beers said. A diamond is a girl's best friend. But it's more than that. A diamond is special because it takes years to form. But when it's formed, a diamond is at the top of the gem class. Out of all the other gems the earth produces, the diamond is the best. A diamond is that which others marvel at. When a man finds his girl, he finds his boo thing, he finds his babe, the one he loves and he wants to express his love for her, he gets her a diamond ring. And her friends judge his love for her by looking at the size of the diamond ring. A diamond is special because it shines unlike any other gem. It shines bright like a diamond. A diamond is not something that we discard easily because we know it took a lot for it to be made. We know that it's worth something. We know that its value will last. We know that it's important. But what's interesting is that although diamonds are special, although diamonds are at the top of the gem class, although diamonds are bright, where they come from, where they are created, where they are birthed at, is not equal to what they are. Where they come from is not bright. It's downright dirty. If you were to see a diamond when it's being formed, it doesn't look like much. And while it's being formed, it might look dark and dirty. It might look messy. It might look worthless. But beyond the dirt, there is still a diamond. When I looked at this, I could not help but see the birth of Jesus. When you consider the fact that he is the light of the world, he's given birth in a dirty place. He's the hope of the world, yet at his birth, he's placed in the feeding trough of animals. How can this be? The Son of God with no room, lying in a manger surrounded by animals. What kind of a diamond could this be? Luke shows us that God knows exactly how to make a diamond. God knows what conditions are needed in life to produce brilliance. God knows what conditions are needed in life to produce something special. God knows what conditions are needed in life to produce something of great value. God knows how to make something out of nothing and to make it shine bright like a diamond. Luke shows us how. First of all, brothers and sisters, we see the making of a diamond. If you're taking notes, that's our first point. It's the making of a diamond. Most natural diamonds are formed at high temperature and pressure. It's at depths of 87 to 118 miles under the Earth's mantle. It's under pressure, and it's the heat that transforms carbon into diamond. It's the pressure and the heat that transforms carbon into diamond. In order for a diamond to be created, carbon must be placed under at least 435 pounds per square inch of pressure at a temperature of 752 degrees. For those who have not studied earth sciences in a while, it means that diamonds are made when the heat is on and when it feels like the weight of the world is on them. Diamonds are not made in sunlight. Diamonds are not made soaring high in the sky, but rather they are made in less than stellar conditions. Diamonds are made in the dark places. Diamonds are made when others cannot see what we are going through. Diamonds are made under intense pressure. And God, knowing exactly how to make a diamond out of a life, God knowing that Jesus would be the light of the world, the bright morning star, did not send him to a royal family. God, knowing how to make a diamond out of a life, did not send him to a palace. God, knowing how to make a diamond out of a life, did not send him to be born even in the temple, but rather his birth came in less than stellar conditions. The text lets us know that there was a census being taken. Scholars debate over what this really meant because at this time, the normal census would have been taken. So they say that Quirinius became the governor and he issued a census saying, I want to count how many people I'm responsible for. So maybe that's what happened. There was a census being taken. And so it was customary for a person to go back to their original home or to where they own land. So Joseph and Mary, they have to travel from Nazareth to Bethlehem. And Mary has to do this while she's pregnant and not married. And if the journey there wasn't stressful enough, once they got there, there was no room for them. So they had to stay in a cave where they're surrounded by animals. They're in a cave surrounded by animals and the droppings and the smellings of animals. Research shows us that when a woman is pregnant, her stress is felt by the baby. My brother Jamal is here. He will help you to understand that whenever the woman is pregnant, the baby feels the stress of the mother. Now, for some of us, that doesn't mean too much at all. But you have not seen crazy until you've seen a pregnant woman who is stressed out and uncomfortable. That's a whole nother level of crazy. Imagine what Mary must have been going through to be pregnant and not married. So other people are already judging her to be pregnant and have to travel from Nazareth to Bethlehem. And once they get there, Joseph come back and say, sorry, sweetheart, they have nowhere for us to stay, but they gave us a cave next to the earth. Imagine the kind of stress and the pressure that must have been. These are the conditions to which God saw fit to bring Jesus into the world. Was not a royal family, wasn't a palace, wasn't surrounded by wealth, but God, who created everything that was or is to come, knew exactly how to make a diamond. God knew that diamonds are made under pressure. God knew that diamonds are made when it feels like the weight of the world is on them. God knew that diamonds were made where it's dirty and messy. God knew that beyond the dirt, though, beyond the mess, beyond the pressure, he was making something that was bright and brilliant. And if God chose to do this with his own son, for somebody right now, you feel like you're under
pressure. You feel like it's the dark place. You feel like you have the weight of the world on you. You feel like you're surrounded by mess. I want you to know that God knows exactly how to make a diamond. And sometimes God allows the pressure to produce something special in us. There is a story in the book Mastery by Robert Greene. It talks about a man by the name of Cesar Rodriguez. Cesar Rodriguez was a fighter pilot. It describes how he got to that point when Cesar Rodriguez went to school to learn how to be a pilot. He realized that everybody in the class was better than him. They seemed to pick up the skill sets quicker than him. He had to spend more hours in the simulator than anybody else because he was under more pressure than everybody else. He had to get it when other people just got it naturally. He had to get it by spending more time under pressure practicing it. Other people just got it. He spent countless hours in the simulator. Then once he got to fly, everybody else seemed to be better at it than him, and so he had to practice a lot longer. He was always under pressure. Then became a pilot and went to the Gulf War. Went to the Gulf War, he got surrounded by bogeys, by the enemy. And he said, once he was surrounded by them, he began to do stuff that he couldn't even remember doing. It just seemed to happen naturally. But when he thought about it, it was because he was under so much intense pressure to learn how to do stuff that other people saw easy. When the fight came, he did what other people could not do because he had spent countless hours under pressure to produce something bright. My brother, my sister, wherever you are right now, it might be dark, but that's how diamonds are made. It might be uncomfortable, but that's how diamonds are made. You might feel stressed, but that's how diamonds are made. You might be under pressure, but that's how diamonds are made. Jesus, the hope of the world, Jesus, the Savior of the world, Jesus, the bright and morning star, came through pressure. And this is what we see when it comes to the best diamond. And this, brothers and sisters, we see, though, that the best diamond wasn't the hope diamond. The best diamond isn't found in the mines of South Africa. The best diamond showed up in Bethlehem. Not only do we see how diamonds are made, secondly, we see the value of a diamond. The value of a diamond. One of the reasons diamonds have value is because it takes work to get them. To reach diamonds, you've got to do pit mining. In pit mining, you need heavy machinery in order to search for the diamonds. Then once you find them, you got to break off the dirty ore that's around them, which is some messy stuff. It's dirty stuff. And then they end up in the hands of a gemologist who knows exactly how to cut them to reveal their best qualities. I learned something about diamonds in my economics class. I took economics at Yale. Don't get me wrong. I didn't have to go to the Ivy League school. It's offered for free on iTunes. I took economics class at Yale. I like studying. And so I can remember the economics professor in my economics class at Yale. He said that economists know the value of everything and the worth of nothing. My economics professor from Yale, when I took the class at Yale, he said that economists know the value of everything and the worth of nothing. He said they know that because we put value on what we care about. I remember when I was young, I still don't understand it to this day, during the Christmas season, there was one toy that everybody was trying to get. It was the ugliest thing I'd ever seen in my life. It was an ugly little stuffed animal called the Furby. Everybody wanted the Furby. Now, if you are 30-something, you can remember your friends, maybe 1 to 30. If you're over 30-something, your child is in their 20s or so, maybe you were in the store trying to find Furbies. Everybody wanted the Furby. They were calling their friends, hey, can you pick one up for me too? Everybody wanted this ugly Furby. It was popular. Nowadays, it's not the Furby. It's the Jordans, 11s, the sky blue ones, and a whole bunch of people are in line trying to spend their money to get. If you got one, just look for it. Nobody would know we're talking about you. Everybody had value for the Jordans. When I was younger, they had value for the Furby. We determine what we place value on. I love it because in the Bible, we learn that we ought to value this moment in the text in Bethlehem. Here's why. Because in Genesis, God revealed his plan to save all of humanity. Old preachers where I'm from, when I was a little boy, they used to say he came down through 42 generations. That's how they talked about it. 42 generations, he came down. God, the all-powerful one. God, the all-knowing one. God, the ever-present one. God, the great I am. God, the one who is and forever will be, chose to step inside of time. God chose to confine all of his divinity to the infancy of a baby in a cave in Bethlehem. And while others may place value on a whole lot of stuff, I place value on this moment in history when divinity limited itself in the form of humanity to save you and I. There's more here, brothers and sisters. Third point, I'm out of the way. It's the beauty of a diamond. The beauty of a diamond. This is my good point here. Here's why. Diamonds are characterized by four things. Their clarity, the cut of the diamond, the color of the diamond, and the carat. Again, brothers, I ain't trying to get y'all in trouble. Somebody right now gonna have diamonds on their list. Somebody's getting eyeballs right now. But I ain't trying to do that. That's number point at all. I'm talking about Jesus as diamond. It's their clarity, the cut, the color, and the carat. Here's the clarity. The clarity is, one is called S1 and S2, or SI1, SI2. I did a lot of research for this, y'all, as y'all can't tell. S1, S2 is slightly included, is what that means. This means that a professional easily saw inclusions with 10 power magnification. They was able to look under, they saw some inclusions, which means some blemishes with 10 power magnification. But they couldn't see it with the naked eye. VS1 and VS2 is very slight inclusions. Very slight inclusions is different. It's difficult for professionals to see with 10 power magnification, but VS2 is easy. In other words, if you got a VS2 diamond, there are some issues with it, but it's not as easy to see. VS1, you're coming up a little bit. You're upper middle class. VS1 is very difficult to see those inclusions. But then there is F and IF. F and IF. That's what I'm trying to get to. I ain't there yet, but F and IF. F and IF means that the diamond is flawless or internally flawless. When examined by a trained professional under 10 power magnifications, these diamonds are very rare and they cost a lot. The diamond I had on, it was flawless to me when I first got it in high school. It didn't even fit on this clarity chart at all because it first needed to be an actual diamond. I didn't have that. But when you get there, for those who are already there, you know it's the flawless ones that we want. Diamonds are also beautiful because of their shine. When the light hits a diamond, only a little actually bounces off. The diamond actually has the rest travel through it, and it bounces off the walls of the diamond, which intensifies its shine. Now, again, for those who haven't got there yet, when you got the S1, you're not really flawless yet. Yours catches a little bit of light, but it wouldn't bounce off too much. Mine caught no light when I was in high school. It just looked like it was important. But the flawless one, it catches the light, and it bounces around, and when they're flawless, it shines even brighter. It shines bright like a diamond. And there have only been a few diamonds that have come close to being flawless. I said come close to being flawless. But there is one that has shown up that is flawless. There's only been one to show up that is flawless. That diamond showed up in a cave in Bethlehem. That diamond had the light of God's divinity bouncing all around in it. It shined so bright. That diamond is the light of the world. That diamond was without a blemish. That diamond has value. That diamond endured the pressure. That diamond shining bright that day still shines bright this day. I can remember when I was a little child, they taught me this simple song. It says, "This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine." Brothers and sisters, Jesus is the light that keeps on shining. And if you let him in your life, he will shine in your life to this little light of mine. I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Then they told me, all in my home, I'm going to let it shine. All at school, I'm going to let it shine. All at work, I'm going to let it shine. Why? Because Jesus is the bright light that shines in my life. He's the brightest light to ever shine. And it showed up in a cave in Bethlehem. Jesus showed up and he shined bright like a diamond. My brother, my sister, maybe right now you feel like you are under pressure. You feel like the weight of the world is literally resting on your shoulders and you're looking up wondering, God, what are you doing with me? God said, I see you. It won't be long before I polish you up and you're shining bright like a diamond. You're wondering right now, God, this year has been such a struggle for me. God says, I know, I see, but I know how to make diamonds. I'm making a diamond out of your life. My brother, my sister, right now you may be going through some difficult points in your life and Christmas may not be all that exciting for you. God wants me to let you know that he knows how to make diamonds. Maybe you're under a little pressure right now. That's the diamonds are made. Others can't see you right now in all your brilliance, but it won't be long before you too are shining bright like a diamond. Let's pray. Father, we come before you now. We thank you. We thank you for sending Jesus Christ, the flawless diamond. Jesus Christ, the one who had no blemishes, no impurities. Jesus Christ, the light of the world. We thank you that in a cave in Bethlehem, you wrapped yourself in humanity to save us. Now, Lord God, we pray that for somebody here that does not know you in the pardoning of their sins, somebody here, they feel like they're under a lot of pressure. They feel like they're surrounded by mess and by dirt, and they cannot even see diamond value in their life. I pray now, Lord God, that you would speak to their hearts, letting them know that you know exactly how to polish them up and how to clean them up and how to make them shine just as bright by placing the light of Jesus Christ in their life. Touch your heart. Touch your mind. Draw someone closer to you. But this is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Maybe there's one right now as we stand all over the sanctuary. You've heard about, you know, shine bright like a diamond. You thought about Brianna's song and all that. When you first heard it, but now you know there is another light. That's the light of Jesus Christ. And you've never had this light shine in your life. You're saying, Pastor, I want that kind of light in my life. I want to shine bright like a diamond, but Pastor, my history, it's kind of murky. It's kind of dark. It's not pretty. It's actually downright ugly. My brother, my sister, diamonds are never made in pretty places. They're made where it's dark, where it's dirty, where there's pressure. But God knows how to take the mess of our lives, make it work together for our good. Maybe you hear my brother, my sister, you've never accepted Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. We make it easy here at Up Hill. We don't ask you to walk down. We don't ask you to give us your hand. We ask you to simply repeat a prayer. And we pray it collectively together because it's a relationship between you and God. It's not about impressing people. It's a relationship between you and God. And we simply pray this prayer. You repeat after me. Dear Lord, I admit I am a sinner. I admit that I have messed up. I admit that I've fallen short. But I accept. But there is a diamond that was sent for me. I accept that Jesus is that diamond. I accept that you sent him to die for me. I accept that you raised him on the third day. And because of that, I am saved. I am saved. I am saved. In Jesus' name. Amen. Look at your neighbor. Hallelujah. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, shine bright like a diamond. Hallelujah. You may be seated in the presence of God.